Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad and
Steve.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect. What's going on in Detroit City, Mr. Doyle?
Well, you know, it's a nice wintry day. So, you know, people are out, you know, getting their cars washed in the clouds and the gloom, just preparing for another cold day. It's great.
All right. We're recording early December and this show should air mid to late January. So could have felt like it was live.
It could have felt like it was live. Absolutely. For sure.
You brought a text earlier in the week of a buddy that you were talking to facing some issues and thought it would be worthwhile to bring some potential business solutions to that problem.
Yeah.
On the old show. So why don't you lay the framework for what we're dealing with?
Yeah. So got a friend, maybe one, maybe two.
Friend.
Air quotes, friend. Right. And we happened to be talking and he was, you know, bending my ear a little bit about some things that were going on and with where he works. So let's give everyone a little bit of context. It happens to be a manufacturing company, a company that has multiple plants. And we're not going to get into the specific details of what the plant makes or what the plant ships, but in this environment, plant A ships to plant B. They make parts, they make components, widgets, and they will ship them to plant B to put them into an assembly, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So
not uncommon.
Not uncommon at all. Well, here's the conundrum. So my friend won't really get into, you know, which area that he works, but you'll get the gist. So what's known is the parts come in, they get reviewed, they get inspected, and they're either identified as conforming or non-conforming. If they're conforming, they move on into assembly. If they're non-conforming, they're tagged, and let's just say they're supposed to be sent back. So
this is how we create recalls, people, just so you know.
This is, yes. So herein lies the internal conundrum that we know that, you know, as leaders in businesses, employees in these businesses, we will say the decision was made fairly high up, knowing that the parts were non-conforming out of plant A, knowing they were non-conforming to ship them out to meet quota.
Good old quota.
Yep, to meet their delivery, their delivery trucks and their timeline, knowing full well the parts are defective in the standpoint they do not meet.
So are they defective or not? So hold on. Back the truck up.
Are
they defective or not conforming?
They cannot be reworked to make conforming.
So they were shipped with a known understanding that they were non-conforming and non-reworkable products.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So they get shipped to plant B. Now, plant B receives them with no notification that, you know, they're not conforming or they are conforming, right? So they do their own, analysis, if you will, and they determined and found that, you know, we cannot use these parts, they cannot be reworked, and they are going to be tagged and need to be shipped back to plant A for a refund, right? Because funds also transfer. Plant B has to pay for these parts that were received. And in order for plant B to send them back, they need plant A to issue them a notice. Yeah. Whatever that notice happens to be.
Yeah, the return material authorization notice.
Yes, your RMA.
And let me guess, plant A is saying, too bad, so sad, go fuck yourself.
Correct. And this is all known. And so what needs to be done is that now, because you have a material has been paid out for, can't refund, now they are sitting on known scrap, And it has to go up the chain to get clarification on what needs to happen.
Right. So you're two C-suite executives from plant A, plant B, both general managers are going to basically get to a fisticuffs.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And the employees are stuck in the middle.
Yep. And they are showing, and the employees, rightfully so, are actually showing what is it actually. So the employees in plant B are showing what is this costing us as plant B for having non-conforming product from a bottom line perspective, not just in the parts that are sitting there that are scrapped, but also in the downtime because they don't have enough parts.
They don't have enough parts to continue the assembly of making the widgets because they containers full of bad parts.
Yes. So what it's doing.
So I have a question. So are they a 100% inspection? Are they a C equals zero inspection? Are they, what kind of inspection process are they? It's just a, hey, I got two on the top and the whole thing's no good.
I didn't get into that. So let's ad lib from.
What would be your assumption based on what you know about the industry and things that are they are in? Would you assume that it's because every organization has a different type of criteria?
Yep. Yeah. So knowing the organization, you will inspect one. You will identify, hey, is this good or not? Right? It falls into the not category. Let's increase our sample size now.
Okay.
Right? So you increase your sample size till you get to a big enough to say, you know what? We've done enough of these. We're not going to be doing 100% inspection. The whole thing is now dubbed scrap. And you know what? The plant A can go through and sort out their mistakes.
Right.
Yep.
It's always fun when it's internal to an organization, shares common goals and common objectives.
But do they?
They do. They may have, well, I'm going to assume that they have a overarching entity that they're both responsible to.
Yep.
I'm also going to assume that each entity has their own individual goals and objectives.
They do.
That are being outweighed and out-identified compared to the greater good.
Correct.
So to me, it seems like the incentives might be in the wrong place.
What?
From the corporate level, that they are incentivizing behavior at a individual plant level that is not supporting the greater good for the company.
Yeah.
And whether it's a plant or an interdepartment, you know, I've got, right. You may have a sales goal for a department and a production goal for the department and other things. Yep. And if those things aren't congruent to get you to where you want to go, sales will shit on operations every time and operations will shit back on sales every time.
Yep. And guess who's holding the bag of fun in between? The bad guys. The quality group.
Counting.
The quality group. Mm-hmm. And everybody just wants everybody to figure it out and make it go away.
Just figure out. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
As you have pallets of shit sitting where you don't need them.
Exactly. And so to me, you know, you bring up a great point. You bring up the point that, yes, obviously you have a main goal. Now within each, I would say, division, you have goals that roll up into those goals. But now these goals, because you're in a silo, they're competing. So now you have two competing things and you have two silos acting independently in a company that should have this, everyone should have the same vision, the values, and the goals.
Yeah, they don't. And where don't. I would
right.
Where I would change plant A's goals, because apparently they have I gotta get shit out the door number. I gotta get shit out the door is one of their things that they're being measured on that particular plant manager is heavily focused on. What they don't have is the what does my customer say about the stuff that I'm sending to them.
Yes.
What they don't have is what's my customer's perception of your on-time delivery? What is my customer's quality perception of your product along the way?
Mm-hmm.
And that should outweigh any of their internal stuff, because at the end of the day, their internal stuff doesn't matter because it's got to go to plant B it's got to make the bigger thing that they're going to sell for a higher margin and get it out the
Yeah. But if they can't get it out the door, now plant B is sitting on not just the bad inventory, they're also sitting on good inventory that they can't sell.
Well, it's called WIP.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a whole lot of things. Now, the other underlying thing that is also happening here is you're also setting the notion for people at plant B that they are going to trust that the people at plant A don't give a shit and are going to do whatever they can to hit their numbers. So now you have a trust issue going on between not just departments, but plants.
Yeah.
And they're going to trust that they're not going to do the right thing. So now we have,
So hang on. Hold on. Time out. I want to get some clarity here.
Okay.
Time out. Red flag. There's a challenge flag.
Yeah. Oh, there is no challenge.
The you said doing the plant B doesn't trust plant A in doing the right thing.
Correct.
Well, doing the right thing from whose point of view? From plant B's point of view? But from the overall company's point of view? Because I'm taking it as you're assuming from plant B's point of view, they're not doing the right thing. What's the right thing from the larger corporate perspective, the umbrella, the big house?
Well,
is should be the guiding principle, not what plant B is, you know, whose dog wagging what tail.
Well, it should be. Here's the concern or the issue, if you will. The precedence has been set that the silo is now governing, not the overarching body. So your corporate team, while they are all in kumbaya saying, yes, we agree, they go back to their silos. And now they are actually setting the terms for what's acceptable and not acceptable. And then they will meet about it when it boils up so that every party now has an issue. And now you actually have a trust issue at that corporate, at the board, at that executive level, because now you have two silos that can't seem to get it correct from either side, because how they are measured and how they are governed, you have two completely separate voices, tones, and decision-making values that are going on, and not a singular decision-making values based on the values of the company itself. And that is a problem because the C-suite isn't strong enough to govern collectively.
Are they not strong enough, or do they not care?
Either way.
Because I think those are very different things, right? If it's a no confidence vote, like what's going on in all these European countries of ousting all of their elected officials because they can,
mm-hmm.
is this a opportunity, which then drives, a lot of the conversations is what's more important, strategy or culture? And because right now you've got two plants that are completely unhappy with each other because all they're doing is listening to each other bitch complain,
mm-hmm.
trying to create the common goal and make it good. And it seems like the upper levels either A, haven't cared,
mm-hmm.
or haven't heard about it, or if they've heard about it, are leaving it up to them to figure it out because we want to empower our employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let them figure. We want to empower them.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point you need the referee. Somebody's got to be the judge and jury is to say, this is what needs to happen or facilitate.
Yep.
The arbitration and mediation process to come to a conclusion as to what's acceptable, not acceptable.
Yes. And when we say arbitration, we're not talking quote unquote in legal terms. It's about people sitting down and having a fucking conversation across the table with each other, not a shouting match and whose cojones are bigger. And who can walk through the door 10 feet and people know they start coming in the door 10 feet before they're there, right? It really is about having that conversation.
Well, I'm going to say the guy in plant A has an ego problem.
Maybe.
Because this is very judgmental, right? He may have a ego problem. He may have a gambling problem. He might have a financial problem, whatever, because apparently he's definitely doing something in order to motivate his own personal gain.
Yep. But again, is it his own personal gain or is it because of the goals and precedents that were set in the silo that were not set in terms of the greater good of the company.
I don't know. If you're at that position and that level and you're saying ship bad product, you are doing it for your own personal gain.
Potentially.
There's no doubt in my mind, if you are willingly and knowingly shipping product that is scrap and no good to your next destination, that is 100% for personal gain. I cannot even fathom an opportunity where that even comes out as a, well, I didn't know.
And I know some of our listeners are like, does this shit really happen? Unfortunately, it happens every damn day.
Oh, and it happens inside your own. It doesn't matter if it's a large company, small, right? Just think about your sales order process or your order entry process where your admin or your sales associate puts in 50% of the information to push it down the line. And then it gets to your production group or to your service tech. And they're going, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? I don't have all the information. And now they're spending half hour, 40, 45 minutes trying to get all the calls to find it all out. So they're losing time. They're getting hammered for poor efficiency. Sales team's getting kudos for bringing in all the work, and we can't get all the work done because we're not efficient enough. So now everybody's all pissed off because we're not efficient enough because we didn't fix the process, or the problem was we think the problem is the techs, but the technicians are not getting the right information so they can be effective and efficient. And that happens all too often in many service-based organizations where the right information, the 5 minutes spent getting the right information and entering it correctly and doing those things will make you more money in the long run than anybody would ever imagine.
Yep. So, Brad, if people truly wanted to start to address this, what is your opinion or what would you recommend to them as some first steps?
I am a big fan of inputs and outputs and understanding who your customer, what your customer needs to do their job role, and then have the conversation around who's going to be responsible or not responsible. So we'll just go back to that example of a sales order. If you need customer name, address, phone number, email's optional, but now email's needed, and we're not going to spend the time to go get that, and we're going to communicate whatever those things are for the next person to do their job. They should be able to identify in their screen so they can have a first pass yield of 100%. What is the things they need to have? And we should be able to go back upstream and downstream, identify all the needs to identify what's going to create a first pass yield success. Because then I can identify, once I know what the process needs to look like, I can then identify, do I have a process problem or do I have a people problem? Because right now it's a coat of arms of it's your fault.
You got it. Everybody's pointing their finger at each other.
So that is kind of where I would take it from working with my clients, or even when I was working back at Bucyrus. It's like, okay, what do you need? You know, we got yelled at all the time from receiving because we had we did all our subcontract work, and we would have drawings go through revision changes, maybe not the right way, but they would go through, we would have parts go through revision changes, or we had a note changed. So we'd go from Rev 3 to Rev 4. Rev 3 was the one that was out at subcontract, no fit, form, or function problem.
Right.
But receiving inspection didn't know if it was a Rev 3 part or Rev 4 part or whatever. So I'm like, okay, talk to receiving. What do you need? So in our purchasing group, we set the process of you're going to put in the notes, you're going to put a receiving note in. This purchase order has been assigned Revision 3 of the drawing. Great. Comes in from the supplier. They look up the PO. They see the receiving note. Hey, Revision 3. Perfect. Great. Now they can receive it and move on.
Yep.
But it took us an extra 4, 5, 6 minutes to go and do that in our job. And I had PAs and buyers that were pissed to no end about, oh, fuck, now we got to do all this extra work just to make receiving's life easier. I'm like, dude, we're going to spend the 5 minutes here because what I'm paying you to spend your 5 minutes to do the bunch of orders versus it sitting and receiving, tying up space, not getting moved along to put a $22 million machine out in the fucking field.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
And we're paying the union guy and everybody else that we're holding up. Yeah.
Your $6.50 to put that note in is peanuts compared to the hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars that we're holding up because of we don't want to do it.
Yeah. Completely agree. Completely agree. But had that conversation so many times in my career.
Sorry, it's a passion point for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
what happened? What did they decide? Do you know what happened yet at all or no?
No, I don't. Honestly, I do not know what happened. It was just a conversation that we were having, and that was the frustration that, you know, the person was talking through was just, this is where we're at. This is what we're doing, and we're consistently doing it, and I'm just frustrated.
Sounds like an opportunity for Professional Business Coaching, Inc.
It does sound like an opportunity. It is an opportunity, which is besides the point. It's more about making sure, like, hey, is this an organization, right? Clearly, this is tolerated in the organization because it's because of the frequency of how it's happened, of how much it's happened. It is a tolerated, whether it's gone all the way up or not, it doesn't matter because it continuously happens. It's tolerated.
Now we're going to get into a whole nother realm of things inside plant B, right? Because, all right, so obviously plant A person in charge is very behavioral style, goal oriented, from a disc profile, probably a very D driven person.
Correct. Bottom line results. Absolutely. I'd agree with that.
Making some very bold general assumptions.
Same thing.
From out here. And it seems like potentially plant B leader is going to be far more in that probably S characteristics in the disc profile. Being more supportive, more whatever. Because if it was another high D, they would have been fucking in the office of the corporate execs like the next day going... Well,
they are. That's the thing I haven't told you is that they are in those offices.
Oh, well, you dick.
See? I got to withhold some information. Got to pull that. You got to pull that. So regardless if the person is a compliance or steady type person, or if they're a high D, right. The things that are going on is there's the conversations to resolve this at the level they need to be resolved at, unfortunately, has to go up so far because the employees, whether or not the leaders think they're empowering the employees are bound by some other measures that they're holding that they're holding their ground with.
So they ultimately have a COO problem and a CFO problem and a CEO problem to squash this and make it happen. Here's the other potential opportunity, and I don't know, right? Because I've seen organizations, I've been part of organizations where this has happened, where, you know what, that stuff is so piddly, it doesn't matter. We're just printing money. Who cares?
Correct.
And if that's what's going on inside the organization, that is, they will find themselves by the 2025, 2026 with massive gaps in their labor pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because people can't stand the environment because the environment is, they have created a toxic culture that embraces low engagement.
Correct.
So there's lots of nuggets in this one to learn from.
Go win the deal. Just go win the deal. Just go win it.
Not just saying there is a deal, but
just go win it. I'm saying there's something to be had there. So go fucking win it.
So,
cause it's not an overly complex problem to solve.
No, it is. It is not when you can see it through the lens that we see it through. It is when you're looking at it through the lens, when you're on the floor, when you're in the environment and you're not working on the environment.
Not just.
Yeah. So,
I'm not saying it's not going to be complicated. There's a simple solution to a very complicated problem. Fire them all.
I mean, we can go down scorched earth path. I mean, that's fine too.
Or stop making scrap. You know, if we stop making scrap, this whole problem goes away.
totally go down scorched earth path. That's fine. So,
but
anyways, yeah. So, well, thank you for indulging me in this. Well,
I'm looking forward to
the thank follow-up. You for indulging me in this conversation. So, appreciate it, and hope the listeners can really appreciate that and cause themselves to think, hey, where in my business am I actually doing something of this nature? Where, you know, am I setting a precedence where it's putting people against each other for what they believe is the common good versus, and it's really, and it's creating conflict within the teams.
And when you start taking that self-reflection, looking at it, it's okay to admit it was wrong, admit it was the wrong thing. If you get everybody on the same page for the greater good, there's going to be, you know, the plant A guy is going to lose money from his incentive program if he has to do things correctly because he's not going to ship as much or be able to steal. Let's put it this way. You won't be able to steal from the company anymore because essentially that's what plant A is doing, is stealing from all of their employees from an incentive program perspective. And when you start using those types of terms and language, people may get upset, they may get frustrated, but let's just be honest about it. It's no different than the employee that's supposed to be a full-time salaried employee. They work 20 hours a week. They're scheduled to be making 45, and they never even come close to it. They're stealing from the company.
Mm-hmm. So
cool. I can't wait to hear when they become your client and what happens next.
So, I will keep you in tune with that one.
All right.
Yeah, you too.
Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.